Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 27th of May, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man and back around to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases. Just one active case. No one in Nobles Hospital with COVID. The Manx Construction Centre sector is hit by a shortage of materials. We got a story of thin-skinned politicians. School uniforms are uninspiring vision for tourists. And the word from general election candidate Ralph Peake. All on this flu-free Thursday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. First am I, Tessa Hawley.
First am I. No new cases of COVID-19 have been identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. The number of active cases has dropped to one. People waiting for a second COVID-19 vaccination are being told they can't change their appointments to fit in with travel plans. The Isle of Man government says slots can only be altered for specific clinical reasons. Chair of the Liberal Vanin Party, Paul Weatherall, has announced his intention to stand for Eyre and Michael in September's general election. In a statement, he's outlined his priorities as jobs, fairness, open government and freedom. Sitting MHK Tim Baker is also vying for the constituency's votes. Further afield, the Health Secretary Matt Hancock insists claims by Dominic Cummings that he repeatedly lied at the height of the pandemic are unsubstantiated and untrue. Boris Johnson has also rejected allegations that government mistakes led to thousands of extra deaths. Embarrassing Bodies presenter Dr. Christian Jessen has been ordered to pay Northern Ireland's First Minister, Arlene Foster, £125,000 in damages. It's for tweeting false allegations she had an extramarital affair. And police say they're working to identify those responsible for racially aggravated social media posts directed at Manchester United players yesterday. Marcus Rashford says he's received at least 70 slurs following United's Europa League defeat. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you. Tessa from the Ronalds Way Met Office. REC weather indicates no warnings for the next 24 hours. Bright and dry this evening. A light southerly breeze. Cloud will increase after dark. Then some rain on the way after that. Overnight down to 11 degrees Celsius. For Friday, Chahenya dull and cloudy with rain or drizzle. Some hill fog and coastal mist. All blown around by a light south-southeasterly. Up to 12 degrees tomorrow, overnight minimum 9 into the bank holiday weekend. Saturday, Jasan, dry and sunny, top temperature 17. Sunday and bank holiday Monday look fine and sunny. Low waters at 18 minutes past 7 tonight. Sunset 27 minutes to 10. High water 7 minutes past 1 a.m. Sunrise 3 minutes to 5 tomorrow. And low water at 7:30.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
No new cases of COVID-19 have been identified in the last 24 hours. With the detail, Alex Watton.
The active number of cases has dropped back down to one. The now only case has been detected in someone travelling back to the island and they are in isolation. 203 people are booked in for a test tomorrow, while 290 are awaiting a result notification. And looking at the vaccination numbers, more than 87,000 doses have now been administered across the island, and more than 25,000 of those are second doses. And in the next 7 days, 2,702 people are booked in to be vaccinated.
Severe shortages of some materials and soaring prices are causing problems for the Isle of Man's construction sector. The price of timber's rocketed over 70% since the start of the pandemic, and other materials have seen increases of between 25 and 40% in recent weeks. In the UK, building projects aren't being finished due to the shortage in crucial materials. Ewan Gorn's looking into the issue.
To look around the island today, you might not think there's much of a construction crisis, but anything affecting the industry in the UK has a knock-on impact here. Unprecedented levels of demand has seen a warning issued this week that cement, electrical parts, timber, steel and paints are all in short supply. Smaller firms are at most risk as they can't bulk buy these items. The Federation of Master Builders in the UK said that some may have to delay projects and others could be forced to close as a result. So what's to blame for this high demand? Well, with lockdowns ending around the world, the construction industry has been desperate to swing back into action, which has placed pressure on the need for those materials. And there are specific issues like a warmer winter affecting timber production in Scandinavia and the cold winter weather in Texas affecting the production of chemicals, plastics and polymer. All this, of course, hits Isle of Man businesses. Alan Clegg from Stuart Clegg Services told us this perfect storm will mean costs have to be passed on and included in future bids for new builds and renovation works in the next few months. He says contractors are also looking at existing priced contracts to see if there are agreeable terms for an uplift in costs on their original bids. It's not a problem that's going to go away anytime soon. The Office for National Statistics in the UK has projected a rise of 7 to 8% in prices, with increases for certain materials such as timber expected to more than double during the course of the year.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Isle of Man's message to tourists is uninspiring compared to the approach of Jersey and Guernsey from the Middle MHK Bill Shimmins. Mr. Shimmins asked the Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly about the visitor market in this week's House of Keys.
Is the Minister aware that Visit Jersey's website says it is this perfect staycation location and we are now welcoming back visitors from the UK and stresses safety? The Visit Guernsey website says we are excited to welcome visitors back from the 1st of July. We can't wait to see you. The Visit Isle of Man website says the Isle of Man is continuing to work towards the ambition of unrestricted travel subject to the progression of the local vaccination programme as well as the developing situation. I would like to ask the Minister for Enterprise, which island do you think UK visitors will book to come and visit? And why is the Visit Isle of Man website so approached so different, so uninspiring from the other Crown Dependencies websites?
Yeah. Thank the Honourable Member for the Channel Islands for highlighting the benefits of visiting other islands.
Yeah, we should be looking after our island.
If the Honourable Member would bear with, clearly there is competition, and we fully accept there is competition. And both those islands, particularly Jersey, have had different border conditions right from the get-go. So we clearly have taken a different route, and we want to be sure before we start spending very valuable taxpayers' money marketing our island that we can welcome them here and they will have an excellent experience. We know, particularly from last year when we had the air bridge with Guernsey, how well our island was received. Guernsey travellers were coming back repeatedly to our island and enjoyed it. So we are ready with regards to marketing and we will push that button as soon as we're ready.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6, the high-speed craft Mananan left Heysham at 6 minutes past 2 this afternoon. She arrived at about 25 past 4. Off tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, arriving in Heysham at 10:15, leaving at 2:15 and back on the island at 4:30. Due to the closure of the border, this fast craft season to Liverpool has been delayed, and of course in the meantime the high-speed craft is covering the Ben McCree's current period of extended overhaul till at least the end of this month. Motorship Arrow providing the freight service. In fact, she departed Douglas about half an hour ago.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Some parents on the Isle of Man want schools to reduce the requirements for branded uniforms, causing what's been described as financial hardship. It's after a petition calling for just that. It's accrued more than 320 signatures. It sparked a discussion on whether the extent of uniform requirements are excessive. Here's the former head teacher of Ramsey Grammar School, Annette Baker.
The key argument for me is actually a parental argument, and I'm speaking as a mum of three boys and a stepdaughter who all attended school. I think the economic argument is actually self-defeating, because the thought of having to source five different sets of clothes for every day for four children, and, you know, obviously they're not going to be content to wear the same thing every day, would, I think, be more of a headache parentally than actually just making sure they've got, the, you know, a clean blouse or shirt ready to wear with their uniform every day. We all know the pressure that young people are under nowadays to buy X and Y brands to keep up with their friends. I think that will be more of a headache and more of a financial burden on parents.
That's only if they sort of bow to those sort of asks and wants of children. I suppose some people may just say, well, no, this is what you're given. Schools are essentially saying you have to have this number of branded socks, ties, all these accessories. It's not just a shirt and a sweatshirt, if you see what I mean. Is the extent of it a bit too much?
Well, the first part of what you just said there about bowing to the wishes of teenagers and young people wanting to wear what they want, to be quite honest, I'd rather not have the arguments as a parent and multiply it by however many children you've got. At least you can point the arguments in the direction of the school. You know, well, you've got to wear this. Everybody has to wear it, you know. So it just takes away that kind of pressure. And I think it's naive to assume that parents wouldn't be under that kind of pressure. You know, I've seen it as an educationalist, the pressure they're under, even with the permutations of uniform. And no matter what the young people wear, whether it be uniform or non-uniform, they will always push the boundaries as to what is permissible. At some point, a school will have to say, in the case of a non-uniform policy even, that there are limits to that as to what is appropriate and what's not appropriate to wear.
Max Radio Business Briefing.
It's 18 minutes before 6. Airbus looks to a recovery to pre-pandemic levels of demand by 2025 and plans to ramp up production accordingly. The world's largest plane maker said it had increased output of its A320neo by more than 10%, from 40 planes a month to 45 by the end of next year. Airbus, which builds wings in the UK, also set a new target of 64 planes a month by the second quarter of 2023. The move by Airbus comes when airlines are still struggling to remain financially viable. Restrictions on international travel because of the pandemic have reduced flights to a bare minimum. Despite this, Airbus is looking to the future and expects the commercial aircraft market to recover to pre-COVID levels between 2023 and 2025, led by single-aisle aircraft, which typically carry 200 to 250 passengers and fly on shorter routes. NatWest mobile app users are being warned about a cryptocurrency scam. The bank said it had received a record number of reports about scams between January and March of this year. App users are warned to make sure they've got direct control of any digital wallet that's set up to handle transactions, and to beware of promises of big profits. One common scam involves fake celebrity endorsement of cryptocurrency, and potential investors are prompted to fill in an online contact form and then encouraged over the phone to set up a cryptocurrency wallet. Unknown to them, the scammer installs remote access software on their device, granting them access to it as well. The victim is then persuaded over time to invest ever larger in amounts until the criminal empties the wallet.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher. The dollar index traded in a narrow range. Oil was steady and gold retreated. In corporate news, Rolls-Royce was one of the top performers on the index after Airbus said it was ramping up aircraft production. House builders under pressure following a report by Taylor Wimpey covering repair costs for a defective London housing block. And the numbers now, the close in London, Ramsey Crookall report, the FTSE 100 down 0.1% at 7,019. The DAX in Frankfurt closed down almost 0.3% at 15,406. Currently in New York City, midway through the trading day, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.3% at 34,444. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 0.1% at 13,758. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up a quarter of a percent at 4,206. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently trading at $1 41.7 cents, €1.16.1, and 19 South African rand 54.6 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.2% at $1,893 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 0.5% at $69.12.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseykrikor.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening, it's 14 minutes before 6. The GP practice in Douglas is moving premises next week to a bigger space in the town centre. The Finch Hill surgery is moving to Chester Street in the former Promenade GP practice premises. Alex Watton with the details.
The doors on Finch Hill will close next Friday at 6 o'clock and open up a week on Monday, the 7th of June at 8 o'clock in its new home in the Chester Street car park premises. The new venue is set to offer more space and a wider range of facilities, and it's been refurbished ahead of the move. That's been funded by the Department of Health and Social Care. A public survey has been undertaken by the practice where nearly 70% of respondents said they were satisfied or very satisfied with the plans. Around 18% were neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. It will continue to be known as Finch Hill Health Centre. Its catchment area remains the same, and the phone numbers, email addresses and doctors, nurses and staff will all remain the same. There will be a two-hour disc parking for visiting patients. GP partner at Finch Hill Practice, Dr. Helen Freer, says patients can be reassured that their records will be securely transferred and stored. She also says the new location will provide more space for patients and staff, with scope to offer additional services in the longer term. And patients will continue to be registered with the practice, and they do not need to do anything ahead or after the move other than remember to attend the surgery at Chester Street from Monday, the 7th of June.
Manx Radio Sport.
Pastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Pastamai, very good evening to you. Albany Tennis Club is celebrating after one of its own has won the LTA North Region Lifetime Achievement Award. Stalwart of the club, Pat Sharp, claimed the win and will now go through to the National LTA Tennis Awards Finals. He'll be up against other regional winners for this year from the UK, Wales and Scotland. The awards celebrate coaches, venues, volunteers and players from the sport and features big names from the tennis world this year, including Johanna Konter and Dan Evans, who lead the list of 10 nominees for the LTA Women's and Men's Player of the Year awards. A virtual ceremony will be held on the 24th of June at 8 o'clock in the evening. You can find a full list of awards and nominations on the story on the Manx Radio Sports page. Entries are now open for the Gran Fondo Isle of Man, which this year will be part of the UCI Gran Fondo World Series for the very first time. The two-day event is taking place on the 4th and 5th of September and gives cyclists of all ages and abilities the chance to challenge themselves on closed roads. Day one will open with an all-new UCA individual time trial that will see cyclists take on the 400-metre Snaefell mountain climb on the TT circuit. And then getting action underway on Sunday will be the main Gran Fondo event, where competitors will have the chance to earn their right to represent their country in the UCI Gran Fondo World Championships. A full list of what's in store and how to enter can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Further afield, and Manchester City players dominate Team GB women's football team for this summer's Olympics. 11 of them have been named in the 18-strong squad heading to Tokyo. City defender Demi Stokes is one of those included and tells Sky Sports News she can't wait.
Really proud and honoured to obviously be selected in such a, you know, a small group as well. I just feel really, really honoured, really excited, and it's starting to feel a bit more real now.
And England cricketer Jofra Archer says he's prepared to sit out the summer in order to be fit for the 2020 World Cup and Ashes series later in the year. The Sussex fast bowler had surgery on his right elbow earlier this week and has said he's keen not to rush his recovery.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6, just one departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way tonight. Loganair's LM687, 10 to 5 to Liverpool. The patient transfer plane left 10 minutes late, back this evening at 20 to 7. On the roads in Ramsey, restrictions on Glen Olden Road for resurfacing between Lazare Road and Milltown. Glen Elphin still got some problems on the road there for construction. They're building, rebuilding the RNLI lifeboat station on South Prom. Watch out also at Stanley Mount East for the refurb of Queen's Pier. Paul Rose Bridge is closed. They've still got some closures around Ballabruey Drive, Ballabruey Avenue, as Manx Gas are doing upgrade work. Some roads closed there. Richmond Hill, temporary lights, 30 mile an hour speed limit for the drainage improvement work. In Ballasalla, temporary lights by the main road near the new houses. By the top end of the promenade in Douglas, by the MAR tram sheds, temporary lights while they repair the seawall. In Colby, temporary lights in place. There's on the main road, they're repairing a water main. Should take a couple of days or so. Glen Road in Laxey is closed for work on the new river wall as well. All the information, by the way, is at manxradio.com. Click on travel, it's all there. And there's also a page of 18 webcams to look at the Isle of Man tonight.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man general election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
The guarantee on update, you'll hear every candidate from every constituency before the Quays general election this year. Ralph Peake is standing in Douglas North. He was first elected in a by-election in 2015 and successfully contested the seat the following year. Mr. Peake, it was asked really, what would make him an invaluable part of a future administration?
It's understanding how businesses work, to be honest. I ran my own business for 25 years. It's being in Treasury and actually seeing how we've supported local businesses, how we've supported entrepreneurs, how we've supported employees. In March 2020, that was a difficult time. We had, you know, 3 days, you know, the of intense work. It started at the Hilton Hotel, and it really did have the blueprint then of how we supported the economy, how we supported people. So I think having that, being there in that room and understanding that really is important for the next few months, because I think now as we've come out of this circuit breaker lockdown, it's important that the economy builds up, but it's important that it builds up sustainably. So we really want to get people to feel confident how they can go out, how they can engage with businesses, how they can actually spend their money here on the Isle of Man and start getting ourselves back to that normal spend pattern and actually have the economy running again.
Well, you did also say in the media release announcing your decision to stand, I'm ready now to listen to constituents' views on the medium and long-term future of the island's economic and social future. That may lead some people to ask, well, where have you been until now?
That was a call for action, actually. That was a call for action in case people actually wanted to contact me now to actually engage with me and talk about the election. No, I'm actually quite pleased how I've engaged with the public, how I've engaged with the constituency, but it is a national position, obviously. So when you work in a side government, you do have to think of the national things. But no, absolutely, it's available now to actually, if people have got something on their mind, give us a call.
Given how much work there has been involved in your Treasury role, do you think perhaps the people of Douglas North have missed out in some way?
I don't think so. I mean, there's myself and obviously David Ashford. He represents the constituency as well, and he's managed to work on his ministerial role in health and social care. So I think really the constituency has been represented with two people that actually have been right at the heart of bringing the island and actually moving the island on through this very difficult time.
More on Ralph Peake and all the other constituent candidates and everything else at manxradio.com. Click on our special election site. And current MHKs can't hack tough questions from the media, according to a senior member of the Celtic League. The veteran public figure Bernard Moffat has hit out at thin-skinned politicians for being unable to stand up to public scrutiny. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter Chris Cave.
It worries me now that people are not willing to handle scrutiny and criticism. Certainly when I was a union official, you were used to journalists being probing and giving you a hard time. You know, I've had a hard time in the studios up here when it was just a postage box in the corner of the office down the end of the building there. And journalists, particularly like Charles Gard and David Collister and a lot more, some of them still here on the station, would grill you. But I notice these days, particularly when journalists are trying to interview politicians, they are very defensive and they can be very almost offended if the sort of questions that the public want you to ask are put to these folk. I noticed this particularly in the news conferences and briefings. They weren't able to handle criticism in the way that, you know, I never thought I'd ever say this, that people like Miles Walker, David Cannon, Donald Gelling, politicians of that ilk were able to. They knew it was part of public life. Your public expected you to be put under the spotlight occasionally, and that's a worrying trend.
Do you believe that politicians at the moment are a bit too thin-skinned, shall we say?
Well, absolutely. I once did an article for an Irish Sunday paper. The article absolutely ripped the back out of the Celtic League. And of course, this came under scrutiny and focus at the AGM. And the view that we took in the league was, well, at the end of the day, it was publicity. You get the best part of a full page in a Sunday paper. And because they say things about you that might be a bit close to the bone or something like that, you've just got to let it wash over you. And I'm sorry to say, I don't think a lot of the politicians, not them all, but a lot of the politicians in the Isle of Man have got that mettle in them now. And that's disappointing because public life is just that, public.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley and producer Alex Swatton. The stories you've heard on this update and many, many more are available at manxradio.com. Also, all the interviews and the podcasts. The webcams, by the way, at manxradio.com are on the community page, and there are 18 of them. And if you don't yet have the Manx Radio app, it's absolutely free of charge at the App Store. I'm Andy Wint, and I'll be back with another update tomorrow night at 5:30.